And we are back. It is the Wild Times, big episode 30. This is big stuff, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe we've been doing this for 30 straight weeks? That means we have no lives. This is what we do with our weeks now.
Oh, the whole man, week. I spent the whole week preparing for this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Is that why it's so hard to get a hold of you? Because you're still furiously preparing and then you have nothing, nothing to show for it? Where's all the preparation work going?
He's deep in research. He's coming up with jokes puns. But let's not talk about that. Let's introduce the cast. If you're tuning in for the first time at episode 30, you're a fucking idiot. Like, you missed 29 incredible shows. It's time to just start over. Go back to episode one, catch up. You could probably do it in a week if you really set your mind to it. I mean, what else do you have going on? It's the holidays. You know, what are you going to hang out with your family? So I am your host, Forrest Galante, joined by our two lovely co-hosts, the Broducer and the Professor, Mr. Patrick and Mr. Peter. What's up, guys?
Hey, hey.
Well, what's up? I mean, look at Peter's head. Look right at the top of his head.
Let's get into that.
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, that's
what?
So here's what I said right before you hopped on the call, Patrick, and it was just Peter and I getting ready. I said, you know what? I actually, and I mean this, I actually think it's a pretty good look on him.
Yeah, it does look good. It at least looks like he's trying. It looks like he's trying for something. Trying.
Well, maybe
that's the flannel.
Here's my assessment. It's like, he doesn't just look like a hipster douchebag. He kind of looks like a guy with a top knot that might know jujitsu and kill you, which is a good look for him because usually he's very soft looking.
Yes.
Man, listen, I may look soft and doughy, but I was looking at your head and my head compared to Pat's head on the last video podcast edit. And Pat's head is either we have giant heads or he has a tiny head. I'm not quite sure, but his head is very unproportional to ours.
I actually think you and I have way too large heads, Peter. I don't think Patrick's head. I think Patrick has a normal
head. Do you both have
head.
Freakish heads? Like, do you struggle to find hats?
I think so.
Here's the thing, though. By like the law of averages, he's the weirdo. Because anybody that's not listening to this, that's just tuned in, is like, ugh, Patrick's head is disgusting. Like, is that a mouse's head on a human's body? When they look at us, they're like, oh, that's a normal size of a head. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. I think my head actually skews like 10% bigger than average. So that might mean that you guys are like legitimately freaks. That maybe I was sitting a little farther away from my camera. That's the other thing.
Maybe.
The very logical explanation.
Right. Could be that.
Yeah. I did like to, because I notice all these little things, because I'm looking at the video much more intently than you two. Pat, I don't know if you were doing it intentionally, but your bicep was just taking the spotlight in your camera.
You know
why?
It's because of the way that... Oh, God. It's because of the way that I sit when I'm sitting at my dining room table. I kind of like lean forward because I don't have like a cool mic stand like you guys. as you can see, I'm holding mine like Bob Barker because I got kicked out of the downstairs tonight. So I'm sitting on my bedroom floor. But anyway, I'm moving to a new house on November 1st. And there's a proper office. I'm going to have a nice setup. I'm going to have my mic on a stand.
Oh, nice.
No longer going to have to use this thing.
So you're much more pro. I know you were searching for places. You listed your place. Like, you're done. You're locked in. You found a new spot. You're moving.
That's it. Moving.
That's
moving
exciting.
In like a week, dude.
That's exciting.
I mean,
exciting.
I don't even know what today's date is, but it's coming up. Haven't even started packing. We haven't even started talking about packing yet.
Great. I like that.
I remember, though, you were stressing. You didn't think you were going to be able to sell the house right away, but it sold like immediately, didn't like right 5 days or some shit?
Just a few days. So,
dude, so competitive in LA. You put up a place, like, people are throwing suitcases of cash at you.
Yep,
it's sort crazy. Any good place,
dude? So, Forrest, how was your trip to Mexico, man?
Good, man. Really good. It was brief. You know, it was a week, but bombed down. Picked up the guys. You guys will like this. So my buddies, we all went to college together and now we're all scattered all over the country. Right. So everybody flew into San Diego Airport and landed at like whatever it was, 11 a.m. And I rolled up with my truck because we're driving. We took my truck and I rolled up in my truck and I put on Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears, rolled down all the windows, turned it up to like volume 35, which is as high as it goes, with a pretty good sound system, put a pink bandana on and went and just leaned up against the hood. And so when they walked out, like, you know, like all jacked up with their spear guns and shit, I was just like sitting there with Britney Spears blaring, like, oh, nice. This is what we're, and they were just all like, oh fuck, we got to get in this car. And I just wore it. I just wore it super hard. Security was looking at me funny. And I was just like, you know, what are you going to do?
Did you, I like it. I think that's a good move. Did you get anything? Did you spear any good fish? Any records?
No records, but yeah, we did great, man. A lot of nice yellowtail, a lot of Cabrilla leopard grouper, brought a bunch of fish home. It was class. Yeah, it was a beautiful trip. Weather was great. Water was nice. I love Baja, man. I could just live down there. If I didn't have to have a real job and be an adult, I think I would just live in Baja on the ocean with a little fishing boat.
It's a legit option. Like San Jose del Cabo, not Cabo San Lucas, where all the bros go to party.
Yep.
Like 20 minutes from there, there's San Jose, which is like a weird oasis, jungle, lush, but it's still got beach.
I love
easily, easily could live there. 100%. Yeah. I mean, totally. It's fucking great.
I'm with you. Everything's cheap. Beers flow freely. It's just, God, it's a great place.
Dude, vibes are astronomical. Everyone's stoked all the time.
So true. Yeah. So true.
It's funny because when I came out to LA, I visited, it was like 2008 or something, and I felt the same way about LA. And then I moved here, and then I realized that it's a shithole shortly after.
Can you
and
imagine?
That, like, it's the same as any other city, you know, with like just a bunch of busy fucking people who don't give a shit about you running around. It's because I went to the beach and didn't go into the actual fucking city where you'll be living.
Peter, can you, so dumb, and Patrick, young. Can you imagine the Los Angeles Valley, like when it was first settled, when it was a town of like 300 people, and there was literally salmon running in the million up the Los Angeles River. There were tule elk and deer and bear everywhere. It was perfect climate all the time. Their white sea bass and tuna, bluefin tuna, were so thick off the coast that old spotter planes used to think that they were moving mats of vegetation because the fish were so packed. I mean, it would have been an absolute like oasis paradise out here when Los Angeles, like perfect weather, incredible beaches, tons of wildlife. The salmon run, nobody knows this, but the salmon and steelhead that used to run up the Los Angeles River, like I said, in the millions, like imagine Alaska in downtown LA, you know, millions of salmon moving up and down the rivers, the Butte Catalina Island, right? I mean, God, this place would have been heaven. And now it's
basically in a desert too.
Sidewalk. Like what?
Dude, legit saw a hobo shitting on the sidewalk just like,
hobo.
No joke, 2 days ago. No joke.
I don't know if hobo is a real word.
Hobo.
Whatever.
It was until 1920 and then people stopped using it.
Yeah, I'm bringing it back. I am bringing it back. Anyway,
fresh off your trip from, I mean, you know, I've just been studying up for this podcast, but just reading producer Will's show.
I'm planning on just all night, right? This is a marathon. We're going till tomorrow.
For sure.
I got a full 12 pack of Rolling Rock. I'm ready to go, gents.
Dude, I have no booze in my house. It's devastating. I went to like make a drink. I was like,
get off. You're fired. You're off the podcast.
Get off the pod. So mad.
What the fuck?
So mad at myself. What a fail.
I listened to like 15 minutes of our last podcast and shut it off. I was like, ugh. We are so low energy without booze. I did. Don't get me wrong. Chemistry is still there. But without like revving each other up and drinking the whole time, it's just like, hey, man, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you up to? I don't know.
I know. It's not what it's like, dude. It's not. I've gotten all the feedback. Yeah. And I was definitely thinking that. But then people were like, that was great. Loved it. Fucking, you know.
Dude,
except that I looked like I had a stick up my ass is what I was told.
Yeah, you did. You looked like you were sitting on a fat dick.
Yeah, you were, though, let's be honest.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I was.
Dude,
it was a big deal.
Someone hit me up, and they hit me on my Instagram stories like six different times with just the line that no pollution here, everybody happy from last podcast.
Dude, that was really funny. Everybody happy was pretty good. No pollution here. Everybody happy.
Thanks, China.
Well, dude, this is a fucking great week to do a podcast about wildlife and the outdoors because there's a ton of shit going on.
There's so much good stuff, man. Rad. I feel like Yeah, to take us away. Let's go. What's in the news, Patrick?
Well, look, I know that you're more excited about another story, but did you guys see this thing with this guy who is driving a supply truck through Siberia? He's driving on a snowy highway. Dude, this is bananas. Imagine this. You're in Siberia. You're driving supplies probably to a prison.
Must be.
You're driving down a snowy highway, and your truck breaks down. Now you're now stuck in the tundra. All of a sudden, a polar bear shows up, and then within a few minutes, there's two, three, four. Now you're surrounded by 10 polar bears, and this is captured on video. We'll see if producer Will can bring this up. He is surrounded by 10 polar bears in this old-ass truck that are, like, getting on each other's shoulders, like, doing piggyback rides, trying to get into the cab. For what I can only imagine was for one reason. And it wasn't to suck his dick.
My dog is just shredding stuff in the office. Dude, look at that thing climbing into the truck. It's like if you're really, really hungry and have like a jar of pickles that won't open. And you're just like, I need to get into these pickles.
Dude, and it's always pickles. It's always pickles.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that tests your manhood.
Dude, he's full of... he's full off the ground. He's got both feet on the wheels. This bear, this is, I mean, more intense than trying to open pickles. This is like...
Yeah, well, the guy's a fucking pickle, dude. The guy sitting inside is the fucking terrified pickle.
And by the way, his truck doesn't have half of what a pickle jar has to offer. But dude, I have to imagine there's probably like a bit of false confidence where you're like, they can't get into my truck. And then you're like, can they get into my truck?
I think they keep trying.
I mean, oh my God. And by the way, that's going to be a feeding frenzy.
Oh yeah. I think I'd be terrified. Yeah. I really do. I think polar bears, I mean, we've said this before, I think gorillas are the gnarliest animals in the world. But I think as far as just like raw aggression and ability to just, well, they're a carnivore. They're a predator, right? That's the difference between them and the gorilla. The gorilla just wants to... Like, he'll just get out of his way. This guy actually wants to eat you. Like, you're just insane.
He's starving.
Yeah.
So, Forrest, what would you... I mean, I know it's a ridiculous question, but what would you recommend this guy do in this situation? What would you do in a situation like this?
I would lay on the horn for sure, make a lot of noise. Obviously, I'd be trying to get the truck started. But I think ultimately I'd, you know... put my head between my legs and kiss my ass goodbye because this just looks...
Oh, my God.
This looks brutal. I mean, I...
Oh, my God. The polar bear is now on top of the truck. He's managed on the shoulders of another polar bear.
Yeah. No, it's bonkers. I just think noise is the only... The only thing you can do is attempt to scare them. There's nothing else because they're locked onto that guy's smell, right? They know he's in there. They know there's a warm meal in there. And they're like, oh, I'm going to, you know, see if I can get in. I'm going to keep trying to figure this out. It's like when a raccoon is trying to get, you know, in a trash can or something. And eventually they usually get into the trash can, right? So you don't want to be in that situation.
Yeah.
It's gnarly.
That's some wild shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are some hungry fucking polar bears too, man.
Yes.
Like when humans on the menu, like, you know, they're pretty fucking hungry.
For sure. Cause that's, you're not their preferred diet.
Right.
Speaking of diets,
no, it's like a delicacy.
I saw what's in the news that blew my mind. Have you guys seen these pictures of this crocodile in this Indian temple? That's a vegetarian crocodile.
Yeah. How do they know it's a vegetarian? Just cause they know it doesn't have access to fish?
I guess they're just feeding it vegetables, which, by the way, is 100% animal cruelty. Like, it's bonkers. Like, don't do this to animals, people. If you're responsible for animals, don't feed them vegetables when they're carnivores. Like, it's just wrong.
Right.
By the way, Forrest, is that noise, is that your dog?
I think so. Let me go see what he's doing. Sorry. I think he's shredding something in the office. I didn't know you guys could hear.
Wait, is he shredding documents for you?
Hey. We just hear a yelp, a gunshot and a yelp. It's all good. It's all good, guys. Yeah, man. But that polar bear shit is, everybody needs to look at it. It's probably one of the craziest things I've ever seen in all 30 episodes. It's bananas.
What's that? How do people find it through our stuff? I actually don't know the answer, Ritep.
Well, you can always just go to the YouTube channel where it will be playing live while you listen. But I'll post a link to this specific thing because I'm so fucking... It's the craziest shit I've ever seen.
The polar? Dude,
there is...
One thing I would say, by the way, while we're on that topic is like we have like 50 times more downloads than we have people watching on YouTube. Because, you know, we started the YouTube really late. We're all pretty ugly.
True.
We all have beards, though.
But, you know, come check out the YouTube. It's fun. I mean, you're not driving to work anyway. Just pop it on. Apple TV it to your big screen and just watch us in our full glory.
Yeah, as we sit here and talk at you, not with you.
Nah, people like it. People like the information that we put out along with, they like me, hate you, Pat, and they kind of like you for us.
They seem to tolerate all of us at best.
So what's so interesting about this crocodile story? Because I'm not a herp, as you would say. Is it that the croc is completely subsiding on veggies for 70 years?
I believe so. Let's get back into this. So, all right, so there's this crocodile at this temple in India. You know, a lot of people in India are vegetarian, right? That's huge in India. So I imagine at the temple they just decided to start fucking feeding this thing tofu and spinach or something. I don't really know. And apparently it's been living on vegetables for a long time. But the fact that it's not incredibly malnourished is alarming. Mm-hmm. My guess would be that in the temple ponds, there are fish, probably plenty of them, and the croc's just munching on them and nobody's seeing it. Because I don't believe that a crocodile could subsist on any form of vegetarian diet. I just don't see it. And the reason I think it's so interesting is it's just wrong. I mean, the fact that it's alive is good. You can see it's got fat reserves around its neck, around its midsection, but you just shouldn't do this. It's like if you have a dog, and this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I don't care how vegan or pro planet you are or any of that shit. Don't fucking feed your dog vegetables. Like, you can give them some veggies, but don't make your dog vegetarian. Like, it is against their biology. Like, they are not made to be vegetarian. And crocodiles are far more so. Like, dogs are a little bit omnivorous. You know, humans obviously omnivorous. But crocs are straight up carnivores. They need meat. And this one's not eating it, which is interesting.
Is that a thing? Like, are there some people who have made their dogs vegan?
Oh yeah, there's like a movement for it.
What?
Yeah,
they're wolves.
The dog doing yoga as well.
They're wolves.
Correct. They should not be eating nothing but vegetables. You know, and they're doing like, you get soy protein and blah blah blah. Just no, that's wrong. You will have a sickly dog. Just give it meat. It needs meat.
I will say this. My dog fucking loves carrots, man. And it was and ice, by the way.
Yeah.
Two great discoveries because it's like, I still buy him like bacon strips and shit. But dude, give him a carrot. It's like a toy for him that he can eat. And he fucking loves it. Well, same with ice cubes.
Your dog's about the size of a carrot.
A 12 pound carrot.
No, look, dogs are omnivorous. Like my dog goes nuts for avocados that fall off of our trees, but it's just, loves them, but they still need meat. Like their stomach biome requires meat. Like it's just science. There's no like, my dog is going to be better for the planet and eat veggies his whole life. Like you will just have a sickly weak dog, which is what I'm kind of worried about for this crocodile. I mean, in my opinion, this animal literally is like, this is animal cruelty to keep a crocodile and feed it fish. But my guess is it's jumping in the ponds and eating a ton of fish and nobody knows it.
Oh, really?
I would guess so.
Ritep, what about you? What are you excited about this week? What kind of stuff?
Well, I am excited that I saw a chart the other day that showed, it showed the cause of bird deaths in the United States. And it was a simple bar graph. And at the top, as we've discussed before, the cause of bird deaths is domestic cats.
I think it was
2.4 billion bird deaths. But even more interesting, because I already knew that, I can't remember if it was the one right below that or the one right below that, but it was way up there. And it was birds running into glass birds running into glass. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like the top killer of birds. Yeah. And I was, so, I mean, are they, it's interesting because what are they just going so fast that they're not sensing what's in front of them for us? Or do they, what are they doing? How does that even happen?
Sometimes they don't know it's there. More typically than that is, the birds definitely just hit it, not knowing that it's there, but more common than that is them trying to fight their own reflections. You see this a lot with like raptors and predatory birds where they just go dive bombing into a window at top speed because they're trying to fight their own reflection, which is pretty silly.
Well, I mean, there was a leaf blowing around on the patio today and the cat was like furiously trying to hunt it through the window and he was pissed. He was like meowing, the likes of which I'd never heard.
Dude, yeah, there's
this leaf.
The most expensive hotel that I've ever stayed at, I was like, I'm going to treat myself to this real nice trip at this hotel in Kauai, right on the North Shore there. And it's right on this cliff over the ocean. The views are amazing. Obviously, nice. If you're going to do that, you pay the extra $100 a night to get the oceanfront room, whatever. And at like 4 p.m. every day, someone comes into the room and closes your shades. So, and you have to keep your shades closed at night because there's some sort of endangered bird there and they just keep dive bombing the windows.
Huh.
So they don't tell you that on hotels.com when you know, book the room for $800 a night. But you have to keep the windows closed because just like hundreds of birds are smashing them every night.
Huh.
If they see the light inside.
On that note, here's something I was thinking about today. Isn't it weird that I was watching My Cousin Vinny today.
Of course
and
you were.
Great.
I was thinking, it's so good.
It's great.
But, like, people can get away. Like, a lot of people do this thing where they just omit information. And the consequences of it are just as bad as making up a bold-faced lie.
It is a lie. Let me go on a tangent later. Go ahead. Yeah. Please continue.
No, I was just going to say, but even though the consequences are the same, it's not looked at it at all the same. If you just omit, if you omit some information, let's hear your rant. What is it?
Okay.
Curious.
It's pretty obvious where I'm going with this, but in any relationship I've ever had, I've always had this argument that when you just choose to omit information, it's the same thing as just telling a lie. If you're like, where'd you go last night? And they're like, nowhere, but it was really somewhere. That's omitting information. That is being, yes, you said meh, whatever, or meh, nowhere.
Yeah.
But that is omitting information where you did go somewhere. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of a better example. This just makes me sound fucking needy. But my point is just, when you do the blatant, like, nothing, like, you know, when you just blow it off and choose not to say something, that is the same thing as telling a bold-faced lie. Like, if you're going to tell the story, you have to tell the whole story.
Well, it's like, it'd be like if you're like, who's there? And you're like, oh, you know, Todd, Jesse, Pinkman, Steve, and the professor. But like really also like three of your exes were there too.
Right.
But you
left
that
out. Yeah.
You've lied.
Right.
You've lied 100%.
Yeah. Well, it gives you, so it's egregious though, but I feel like it gives you first of all, it gives you like plausible deniability.
Because
you can
be
like,
I didn't think that was important. Like I didn't tell you every detail.
Your example, Patrick, is egregious. Like, there's no way getting out of that, like, in a relationship. But if if it was, like, something a little bit less, you could be like, oh, I just forgot. That's it.
It's like if we went on an Extinct or Alive shoot, and somebody said, how'd you do? And we came back, and we're like, fine. But actually, we found the extinct animal and rewrote natural history. But we just decided to not talk about that. You know what I mean? It's like, I just didn't think it was that important.
That was a fabulous humble brag, dude. Real, real nice. I loved it.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was well executed.
I've been waiting 30 episodes for that. So,
sure.
Yeah.
All right. I had another. Let's talk about the most topical thing in the news, in the wildlife news this week, right? Murder hornets. Yeah. They're back.
Oh,
TMZ's interviewing me about them again. They're like, oh, my God, we're all going to fucking die. We're not. but just as murder hornets are entering into their slaughter phase, right, which is where they just go fucking nuts. Washington State found the first nest of murder hornets, which is an important development. Because their population has been quantified knowing how much there are, and they caught this nest and they destroyed them. And they did it with a giant vacuum cleaner, which I thought was pretty cool. So scientists found a murder hornet net. They're like, this is good. We're like able to quantify how many murder hornets are here now based on this whole nest. Then slurped them up with a giant, basically a giant shop vac, and killed them all, which is great because that's what we want. We don't want more murder hornets in the U.S. They're an invasive species. They can cause all kinds of problems to our honeybees. Yeah, that's kind of the story, right?
So how did they get here again?
No one knows how they got here. They're native to Japan, literally no one knows how they got here.
So this is the first nest that they found? So that people have seen them flying around or found dead ones, but they'd never actually found a nest.
A full nest. That's correct. That's my understanding. I'm not positive on that. But yeah, my understanding is that they known that murder hornets were here. They'd found several individuals, but they hadn't found a nest. And the reason being, they nest underground, right? They have these massive colonies that actually take place underground. I don't know the specifics of how they found this nest, but it is a good sign that they did find it.
Got it.
Nice.
Now, let me ask you this, because we've talked about murder hornets a couple times.
Yeah.
How scary is an actual murder hornet? Is this something like where they're killing people in Japan?
They do. I think it's like 6 to 8 people a year die from them. But, okay. You know, like
that's how many?
Well, I mean, that sounds like a lot and it's kind of scary. But how many people are dying from falling into sand holes at the beach every year? I think it's like 200. I'm not kidding. It's like a ridiculous stat. Yeah,
that's
like
nothing. That's like zero.
Yeah, it's very little. Do you want to get stung by one? No, it's going to fucking suck. Like it's going to be miserably painful. You're probably not going to die. You're probably not going to have an allergic reaction. The scariest thing about murder hornets is the fact that they're going to destroy our native honeybees, and bees are already in the most jeopardy. I mean, that's what's scary about it. Once we lose the bees, we lose all kinds of crops and agriculture and all kinds of stuff.
What the fuck are you talking about with sand holes? I just Googled sand holes at the beach, and a National Geographic article came up that was like, don't dig sand holes at the beach. It can turn into a deadly trap.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I remember, how do I know this? I'm trying to remember. There was some analogy drawn about it and some stat published. You might be able to find this, or maybe producer Will can. There is like a ridiculous number of people that die every single year from like, you know, like we've all done it. You go to the beach, you dig a big hole. I don't know why. Maybe you're putting water in it. Maybe you're burying your friend.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you just dig a hole.
Yeah. Just dig a hole. That's like part of the game. Well, apparently a bunch of fucking idiots die in those holes every single year somehow. I don't know how. This is like a thing. Like people are just dying at the beach in sand holes.
I mean, I guess it's like when I was a kid, I remember like it was a big deal. Like I feel like every other week someone was getting stuck inside a well.
Right.
Do you remember this from the 80s?
Where does this happen? Yeah.
There was a baby in a well each fortnight. There was a new story about a baby in a well.
every two weeks.
I don't know why that was such a thing, but sand holes.
No, it was, though.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
The well thing is like in the psyche of I don't know if it's just a Mary, but it's like in every old timey book you read, somebody gets stuck in a well.
It's Timmy's stuck in a well. The whole premise of Lassie, the movie, or in the books, or whatever. Like people fucking just getting. Well, how many people are just jumping in wells? By the way, like that, you have to make a conscious decision to get into a well,
or to leave a well
unless somebody
uncovered.
Puts you in there.
Yeah, these are the questions.
Utterly preposterous.
So.
Okay, so is the whole point that they found this murder hornet's nest and that now, okay, so you eradicate that one nest, but does that really solve anything or?
Well, we don't really know. I have been home for such a little amount of time, I haven't really dug into this, but we don't know. That could be the population. It's probably not, let's be realistic, but that could be it, right? There could be one nest in all of... In all of Washington State. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows, but every single one that we can remove is a good thing. Because obviously, if you leave a hive or a nest, it's only going to expand, right? They're only going to lead to more of them. So it is a good thing that they've managed to wipe one out. It's hopefully putting in some control. Hopefully.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, something came across my desk on a lighter note that I was... speaking of lighter notes... There were researchers in Antarctica. Did you guys hear about these penguins? These penguins in Antarctica, have you ever heard of them? They're in there in Antarctica.
I'm familiar with penguins, yes. Some sort of, please some continue. Sort
of
bird.
So there's a new study that came out from the University of Copenhagen where they demonstrated that the penguins in Antarctica emit copious amounts of nitrous oxide via their feces. That's like the laughing gas that they give you at the dentist. Gets you high as shit. But, so you know, it's funny. It's funny because they were doing this study and there was so much of this gas that it says the researchers went cuckoo from being surrounded by penguin poop.
Oh, no way.
I can't believe this is a new discovery. They didn't know this? Like, what's going on here? We've known about penguins for fucking decades.
Yeah, but how often are we hanging out in thousands of pounds of penguin poop? I don't really know the answer.
So are the penguins like getting
Joe Exotic? Like, maybe
are they getting high off this laughing gas of their own making?
Yeah.
Oh, the penguins are or just the researchers?
The penguins are the penguins getting high too? Would they have the ability to get fucked up off of this shit?
Well, the best is humans. The best thing is the quote from the Dutch researchers. The quote is: after nosing about in guano for several hours, one goes completely cuckoo.
Cuckoo. I love it. Fucking cuckoo.
Well, dude, penguins have been in the news twice this week because there was another big story about two. So I don't know if you guys remember this. Last year, there's two African penguins in a Dutch zoo that are gay. And they're a committed gay couple. And last year they made the news because they went and stole an egg from a heterosexual couple and had a baby.
Whoa.
And they raised this baby, right? Well, that's not where the story ends. The plot thickened as it was announced either yesterday or today that these same gay male penguins went and aggressively stole a nest from a lesbian couple penguins.
Which begs the question right now? Begs the question, where did the lesbian couple get the eggs from?
Oh, well, no, I don't think they had. I'm not sure if they had eggs. They had built like a very nice home, though.
Oh, they just stole the nest. There were no eggs.
Stole their nest.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, that's funny. Joe Rogan actually hit me up about this, and he was like, dude, what's going on here? And I'll tell all the brosners the same thing I told him. Gay penguins, super common. Like, this is a very well-known, very well-documented thing. Here at the Santa Barbara Zoo, where I live, there's a pair of gay Humboldt penguins that have been together for 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and same thing. They have, so the at the Santa Barbara Zoo, and that's the only gay couple of penguins that I know, they they've given them eggs a few times from, you know, penguins that have had too many eggs or whatever, and they have successfully raised chicks. I don't know that they've gone around
probably
stealing.
Better. They probably keep their cage very clean. They dress neat. Yeah.
Well, every stick's in the right place. They have tons of excess finance. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Tons of excess
finance.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very wealthy penguins. This gay penguin thing, it seems topical for sure. But it's very well documented. It's funny that it's not more well known. I feel like if I happen to be like, civil rights? What is it when you're just like an activist for people? I don't know what that's called.
Civil rights.
Civil rights?
Yeah.
If I was like a civil rights activist and a biologist instead of just a lowly biologist, I would definitely be referencing gay penguins constantly. I'd be like, look, it happens in nature. Here they are. They raise perfectly successful babies. Like, we should all be gay. You know, that would like be my MO if I was into both of those fields.
Is there a reason why it's common in penguins to be homosexual?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know if
it wasn't his field of study.
Here's
what
a thought.
Do you know?
Here's a thought. Can you tell the difference between two penguins? Any two penguins of the same species?
That's why Disney's movie Penguin, I was like, well, yeah, this is brilliant because these are clearly different penguins in every single shot in this
movie.
Every
scene, yeah. And at no point did you question it, right?
No,
so maybe.
Yeah, you're right.
So maybe a couple penguins look at each other, go, that's a nice looking black and white bird. I don't really fucking care what he's got downstairs. And that's that, you know, like it's just.
Or maybe they were just cuckoo on their poo-poo and they don't know what's happening.
You've been waiting a while for that, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been working on that.
You've been wanting to do poo-poo-poo-poo.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, no, Joe Rogan was definitely into the gay penguin thing. He was like, what's going on here, man? Are they, like, giving them chemicals? I was like, no, they're not. They're just gay penguins.
I love that Joe Rogan's, like, just hitting you up now. You're his go-to guy about, you know, anything in this, you know, like, animal, probably conservation type go-to shit. You know, he's got, like, his alien guys that he probably calls up, like, Bob Lazar hits him up. Dude, what's up with his gas on Venus? Like,
I'm his boy, dude. I had elk steaks for dinner from Joe, because the last time I saw him, I brought him like a single mushroom and one fillet of fish, and he's like, "Here's 40 pounds of elk." And
that's sweet. Yeah, I remember that. So you've had that elk since I was over there 30 weeks ago,
dude,
when we did the first
one.
Dude,
he gave me so much fucking elk. Like, yeah, it's in the freezer. It's not just like sitting out. But he gave me so much. But yeah, I did elk steaks and mushroom for dinner. It was a treat.
I saw a picture of you on Instagram. It's lobster season, yeah?
Indeed.
I saw you had a ton of lobster, and I was, what's the story with that? Did you go out and like get them, or like what was up with that?
Yeah, man. Every year, October to March, California lobster season, I hit up the islands here. Coastal too, and dive with a flashlight in the limited seven.
Dude.
Yeah, and you go out at night, and you just dive around and look for lobster that aren't hiding deep in caves, and you know, you have a little gauge to make sure they're big enough, and you collect your seven. And I went out for a 3-day trip a couple weeks ago and came back with 3 days worth of limits worth.
I love how nonchalant you are. You're like, yeah, I just get a flashlight, I go into dark water, and I hunt lobsters. Yeah, everybody do that?
I love night diving, man. It's just it's fucking cool. Like, the reef is a whole different place at night.
I'm sure you
know what's interesting. I've tried to explain this to people that have never been in the water at night before diving. During the day, like, the whole world is in your view, right? You're in the ocean, there's a fish here, there's coral here, there's kelp here, there's a crab here, and it's like, it's overstimulating. Like, there's so much in this foreign world. And don't get me wrong, it's beautiful, it's stunning, I love day diving, it's incredible. But at nighttime, your entire field of view is your little flashlight beam, which is this big, right? And you don't see anything except for where you're pointing your little flashlight. And when you're living in that world at night, you see so much, because whatever you hit in that flashlight, say it's just a little tiny crab or a little nudibranch or a single patch of reef or something, you focus exactly on that one tiny spot instead of taking in all of this giant information in this ecosystem. And it's pretty cool. You really see a lot at night. Like, I realized on this last lobster dive, I must have seen like 12 swell sharks, which are just these little sharks that we have here in California. They puff up and expand, where they get the name swell shark from. And during the day, not that I look for them very often, but I very rarely ever even see a swell shark. And at this last dive, I saw like 12 of them, and I got to like really, I'd put a lobster in my bag, and then I get, like I always do, I get sidetracked and I go stare at the sharks and blah, 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 blah. And I would like really look at them. Like, I would shine the light right in their face, on their eye, on their skin. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Interesting.
You get really focused.
Yeah. So do California lobsters don't have claws, do they?
Correct. They're a crayfish. California spiny lobster. So no. And this is going to upset a lot of people, and I'm perfectly okay with it. They do not taste nearly as good as Maine lobster. They just don't. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, people are like, California lobster is the best. Florida lobster is the best. Caribbean lobster is the best. It's not. Shut up. You're an idiot. Like, have you ever been to Maine and had a lobster roll? It's incredible.
Also, I've never heard anyone say that. Maybe because I don't like know a bunch of people that go hunt lobster. But like, I've never been to like a seafood restaurant where they're like, we got that California lobster. It's like, no, you get Maine lobster. Because the fucking claws are delicious.
Exactly.
I mean, the tail's nice, don't get me wrong, but that claw meat, it's just something sexy about it.
So good.
I like lobster. Yeah. I like eating it. The texture, I think, is the reason to eat lobster. I don't think the taste is anything spectacular.
I'm with you on that, man.
And then
I'm
it's
with
like
you
a vessel.
That.
It's a vessel for butter. I mean, that's what it is.
it's the same reason I eat mushrooms. It's a butter sponge. You're just like, garlic and butter in a nice, chewy thing. This
100%.
Is delicious.
Dude, there's a restaurant in San Diego, great seafood restaurant called Ocean Air. And one of their things that you got to get when you go there is like, it's a little tin of like six snails. And there's a little puff pastry on top. Okay. And underneath the puff pastry is a snail that takes up about a quarter of the tin, and mm-hmm. the rest of it's just full of hot melted butter.
Great.
And like people are like, man, delicious. I really like snails. I'm like, you haven't tasted any snail. It's butter and puff pastry with a yeah. chewy morsel.
Totally. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. At Lucky's, the local like fancy restaurant here in Santa Barbara, it's pesto. It's the same thing. It's just butter and pesto. Sure. You're like, yeah, there might be something chewy in there. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. That's a big thing in Key West. They eat a lot of conch there, which is like, that's like the shell you listen to. Yeah. Like that's the one you listen to or you can blow into it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
But it's butter and with like a fried fritter around it. Like you don't really taste the conch.
Wait, conch is like there's a creature inside the conch shell that's called a conch.
Something has to make the shell, you dumb dumb.
I thought that was just the environment that made it. There's a conch that like creates the shell. Wait, what? Tell me about the conch, dude. Yes, I need to hear it. This is fascinating.
A giant snail. It's a giant underwater, it's a giant sea snail, and they make the shell just like land snails. They're not just part of the environment. Shells don't just show up. It's not like a rock.
Conch shell is not like a fucking land snail shell. A conch shell is like a piece of fucking, a giant ceramic fucking like, centerpiece that you put on a table.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a conch picture how much bigger the animal is that's inside.
Yeah. There's the animal. See, it's two little eyes there. Will, woof. Can you pull that up all the way? If you look, if you zoom in.
That is Hanus.
Those are the two little dots that you see either side of the shlong looking part there. Those are his little eyes. And he's looking right back at you. It's kind of sad. I used to hunt conch when I'd go to the Bahamas. And I don't do it anymore because like Patrick said, I mean, I'll just dip some bread in some butter, really.
It's the same thing.
Their numbers are super reduced from what they should be. And they're kind of cute. They look at you with those weird little alien faces, and then you just smash their shell open and slurp them up.
Yep. There's a little bit of trivia. Key West is, when you're there, they refer to themselves as the Conch Republic, because I guess they have a lot of conch there. They have tried twice to secede from the Union.
No, they did. They did. They seceded for like 7 hours or something.
Oh, maybe they did. Okay.
Key West did?
Yeah, they wanted to become their own country. And a lot of people in the Keys still want to do it.
It's like a thing. Yeah, I'm almost positive. I'd have to double check this. But my understanding was the Conch Republic for like 7 or 8 hours was its own nation where like the bill was passed and then overturned 7 hours later just due to bureaucracy. And they're like, yes, we're the Conch Republic. And there's a flag and like, you know, there's fucking toothless Florida people with like Conch Republic full back tattoos. Like, it's a thing.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Let's not lose all our Florida listeners.
I was going to say, I love Key West too, man. I love
Florida.
Yeah.
Well, so why are they seceding? Like, so
they don't want any rules, bro. They just want it to be. They're if pirates. You want to just walk full nude down the street, you can do it. If you want to shoot
I'll
up heroin
pass that
in a
law
bar,
right now in California. Yeah, I'll vote for that.
They just want zero laws. They just don't want anyone telling them what to do. And, you know, they've got a big enough economy because of the tourism and they're, you know, a cool looking island off the ocean that's in the Caribbean that they could just be their own little country.
I'm for it.
I'm totally for it.
Yeah. Hey, 100%. So you mentioned that dope seafood restaurant in San Diego. I forgot you went on a baby watching mission last weekend. How was that?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, it was great. I mean, it literally went exactly as I predicted.
Come on.
It went as predicted, which was a lot of time where the ladies were playing with babies and a lot of time where me and the husband, the dad of the baby, were drinking booze, drinking wine.
There you go.
Was he cooking?
Oh my God. He fucking did a 12-hour slow smoke on a pork shoulder, did a brisket. Yeah, just eating meat, drinking White Claw and
great
wine.
That's all he has now, dude.
Shit.
It's the best time he's had probably. How old's the kid?
10 months.
In 8 months? 10 months. In 10 months. Coming over. This is the best time he's had.
The other thing is they don't like the TV to be on while the baby's up because apparently it gives the babies more of a predilection for wanting to see blue light. And it's funny because he was like, look, we're making exception because we're going to watch college football and drink. And you could see the baby was just enamored with the TV. Like, it didn't want to look at
any screen.
Didn't care about the dog. Just wanted to look at the TV.
It's brutal.
But dude, I will say,
it's
man,
crazy.
Just while we're on the topic of, you know, how great California used to be, they're just north of San Diego, like 10 minutes north. And on Saturday, I was just like, I'm going to get out of the house, just go for a run. So I just like ran down the hill, was at the bay. And then I just ran along the bay and just, I just was fucking going, man. It was like 60 degrees out. It was great. Everyone's got their, there's this huge island that you just run over this little bridge to. There's essentially no laws on the island. I think it's its own republic. Everyone's just got their boats in the water. People are on the sand, dogs, all, just full of dogs. You can't bring dogs to any beaches in LA. It was wild, dude. I was gone for like 5 hours by myself. It really is.
San Diego.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. It's cheaper than LA too, by a good amount. I'd say a third cheaper.
That's to get exactly like a house. Say, yeah.
It's just a lot of sprawl. You know what I mean? It's like one town from like the border to like Escondido. It's just like it never ends. It's just, but
yeah,
I do like it. Weather's great. My favorite part about San Diego is its access to Baja. It's, you know, it's like right, you just hop right over the border.
Yeah, true.
So I had one other thing that I saw in the news, and even though we've got Dogleg that I liked, and I think I'll bring it up. So I've been saying this for a while. There's always like natural alternatives to things that we do to fuck things up, right? And I think something that's probably been known for thousands of years is being brought back, and it's even made headlines. A bunch of farmers in Thailand found that instead of using pesticides, they employ a team of like 10,000 ducks to eat their bugs in their rice paddies, and they eat the old husks after the harvest of the rice. And this method has not only reduced the bugs, they now have ducks that are reproducing and ducks to eat, and obviously keeping the duck population sustainable, and it's environmentally friendly and increases the yield because of the fertilizer from the ducks shitting all over the thing as they go. So it's just like, you can either put pesticides down, which poison people, kill everything around, you know, is terrible for the environment, or you bring in a bunch of ducks and just make a more diverse ecosystem and get rid of this monoculture, and everything wins. There's ducks to eat, there's less bugs, there's better soil quality, and I just wanted to bring it up because it's one of these things. There's a great movie called The Biggest Little Farm. If you guys haven't seen it, I highly recommend it, where they just show how instead of using monoculture and crop farming, they just use a bunch of stuff. They use ducks and chickens and crops, and they cycle the crops, and everything just works better. Like, you don't go 5 years of growing one thing and then go, oh, my soil's fucked, got to move on. You know, you rotate, you cycle your crops, and you have animals running throughout the crops, and let like nature take its course a little bit, and the yield is so much better. So anyway, I think it's pretty cool that it's making news with these farmers.
How much do they pay? How much do they pay the ducks?
They pay them
as much as the orangutan toll booth operator that we talked about in the previous episode.
Dude, I just feel like being in a rice paddy is such a, like, that was one of the things that struck me the most in Vietnam, was just the rice paddies everywhere. And then when we, after you found that cobra, we started looking up just statistics about cobra attacks and cobra deaths. I can't remember the exact number, but it was in the magnitudes of tens of thousands of people get killed because they get bit by cobras and other venomous snakes in the rice paddies. Because the deal? The rice attracts mice and rodents, and then that attracts snakes.
Exactly. The grain attracts. You got it. Yeah.
It's like, it sounds like it's a whole ecosystem there, you know, and if there's food there, they're going to keep going back, and it's going to make its whole little own ecosystem there.
But imagine going to work every day and knowing that there's like a 1% chance that today's the day I get bit by a cobra and die at work.
Yeah, 1% sounds low, but it's actually a lot.
Husking rice.
What was that for us? Say that again.
So you can make 15 cents husking rice. You know, that's the upside of the day. Yeah.
It's interesting though to see, like, you're talking about this, you know, what you were just talking about, where you have the ducks that are basically, you know, a natural way, better than fertilizer, doing this thing where humans are benefiting the environment. Whereas, like, it's interesting because it's normally the opposite, and we're so like our brain, like most of nature just works that way. It just goes with the vibe and the flow. Yet for some reason, like we as humans have like these complex everything set up and we fuck it up and like go against everything, you know, sometimes just gotta go with the flow.
There are natural answers to like all of our problems. And we like to fuck it up by putting synthetic stuff in it. It's just wild.
It's because it's easier and we're addicted to convenience, man. That's what it is. Blue light and convenience. So it's like, you know, it's just easier.
Before we jump into the other stuff, there's one more thing that producer Will had put on the show doc that I found fascinating.
Yeah.
Which was that, this is not news. It's olds technically. but in the summer of 1985, just cause while we're on the topic of San Diego, there was a famous orangutan at the San Diego Zoo whose name was Ken Allen.
It's a great name.
He had a first and last name.
He was a businessman. He worked for AT&T.
His name was Ken Allen. And in the summer of 85, when little Peter was just knee-high to a grasshopper, Ken Allen escaped his enclosure on three separate occasions.
What?
He walked around the zoo and was friendly to all humans and animals he encountered. the zoo then rigged cameras to his enclosure, but he appeared to know that he was being filmed. So he would look at the cameras a lot and he didn't make any escapes. So then they took the cameras down and then he escaped again.
Wow.
So he kind of like knew he was being filmed. And so then they couldn't figure out how he was escaping. So they hired a team of rock climbers to come in to try and figure out what the like finger and toe holds were that he was using, and they had to redesign his enclosure.
That's
awesome. Fucking genius, man. Ken Allen.
Also, Ken Allen.
That just sounds like Allen.
It sounds like every 1980s pseudo comedy actor.
Yeah.
Ken Allen.
Ken Allen. Or you know, the backup quarterback for the Raiders in 1986.
Totally.
Ken Allen.
Well, guys, I think it's time for a new fan favorite segment. It is called Fact or Fiction. You guys want to do it? You ready to do it? You're interested in this today? Because I have some facts and some fictions that I think are going to blow your dicks.
So here's you name a fact, and then Forrest and I argue about whether it's true or false.
Correct. That's the game.
Let's do it.
Pat always answers first because he knows nothing, and Forrest actually studied biology.
Okay.
Number one. Pat, pay attention. I know you're watching the football game, but pay attention.
It's not even on.
You ready? Manatees use their farts to help swim. Hold them in to float or let them out to sink. Is this a true fact, or did I just make this bullshit up?
I'm going to say, I mean, this is annoying because I could... Fiction. I don't think a manatee needs help being buoyant enough to swim. No, it's fiction. Bullshit.
Okay.
Bull fart.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go fact. Then they do indeed use air as buoyancy control.
I'm sorry to say that everybody's favorite host, Patrick, is wrong. Forrest, 1 point for you.
All right. Lucky me.
I mean, there's not much more to it. They bring air into their body and it helps them float. They release it in just like us.
I'll tell you why I know the answer to this. You've all seen my physique back in the old Naked and Afraid days.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yes.
I've seen it. The whole world
jungle
has
potatoes.
Seen it. Yeah. And so when I was on that Naked and Afraid show, I fed us very handsomely from the ocean. I brought a mask and snorkel, and didn't even get a snorkel, just a mask for diving, and I fashioned a spear. And I didn't have a wetsuit, and I didn't have a weight belt, and I didn't have fins. I had nothing. And it's been a very long time since I've just dove naked. No fins, no weight belt, no wetsuit, nothing. And I very quickly found out that if I farted a bunch, I could dive a lot better than if I held it in. And I swear, this is the thing. I was like, because this happens, by the way. If you're a free diver, you go up and down, the pressure changes. You're like, ooh, I got a little rumbly tumbly. I'm just going to, out it goes, and I feel better.
Yep.
But when you're in a wetsuit and you got a weight belt on and fins, you don't notice anything. And I noticed on Naked and Afraid that if I farted a bunch, I could actually dive better. And I was like, oh, I'm more comfortable. I can go down deeper. And how I know. And I had the physique of a manatee. So, you know, I know this now.
How many times a day, like how many farts were you able to push out back to back to back to back?
I was living on potatoes. So many farts. Yeah. Not to mention, like, there's not, this is getting into a lot of detail. It's not like a lot of privacy when you're doing Naked and Afraid. So I was aqua-deucing every time I went in the water, right? I'd be like, just going for a quick swim, you know, just gonna get my laps in and just as soon as I got in the water. So, you know, that was, you know, because they film, by the way, they film you taking a shit on Naked and Afraid. They're like, I was just gonna say,
this is what we do. Yo, I'm actually curious about that. So, like, from your perspective, having been on there, they film everything. Like, what's going through your head? Like, when you first get out there, like, oh, I'm naked, whatever. We all saw you do the dance. I mean, you were very comfortable being naked. But what about, like, the taking a shit thing? I mean, it must have been on your mind. You're like, I'm just going to shit in the ocean, or, like, I'm going to do whatever. No, so, or were you like?
Literally, like, you know, I think I went a day or two without dropping a deuce because, you know, you get those jitters and you're not eating much and, you know, it's whatever. Yeah. And then I finally, like, took a deuce. Like, this guy just comes with me with his fucking camera rolling on his shoulder rig. And he's like, hey, man, what are you doing? I'm like, what the fuck does it look like I'm doing? He's like, you feeling good or feeling bad or how's your tum-tum? And I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Tum-tum?
Yeah. No, he didn't say that. But I literally took one in front of the camera and was like, okay, that's the last time I'm doing that. Like, they could make this look disgustingly weird and bad. And so, unless it was like the middle of the night when nobody was around, which I don't think ever happened, I was just going deuce in the ocean, and I would watch my partner, you know, this quite attractive lady, just like walk over 150 feet and just start shitting, and like she's growing a tail, you know, and this guy's sitting there rolling, and they've got like the boom hanging over her fucking head. I'm like, nope, this is not for me. Like,
rowing,
I don't know,
a tail.
What.
Yikes. I mean, if you're the kid, like, the camera guys better get paid like an extra $100 a day for that.
I would hope so.
Like, by the that's way, none a of big them, ask.
They were all like, I was like, okay, I'm going spearfishing. And they're like, oh, we don't know how to free dive or swim, or can you take this GoPro and wear it on your head? And I'm like, yeah, for sure. I just take the GoPro, I'm like, click, okay.
Take a shit.
I could really relax out there.
Let out some of those fucking jungle potatoes gaseously.
Anyway, that was a big dog leg. But yeah, there we go.
All right, what's number two, Peter?
All right, number two. Here we go. We talked about this animal last week, so I thought Will thought it would be good to include this into the fact or fiction this week. Jellyfish have one hole, a cloaca, where they eat, reproduce, poop, and even hide their young in times of danger.
Cloaca. It's the same thing your cat has. Cloaca. Yeah,
it doesn't rhyme with Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Forrest, keep your goddamn mouth shut. Pat, you're up first.
True. A jellyfish has a cloaca.
Forrest?
Have a cloaca.
Is it true or is it a trick question?
That sounds like a hint.
Experiment. I'm going to go true. I can only imagine. No, let me think about a jellyfish's anatomy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go true. They have to get rid of their waste and they can't have, they're not very complex creatures.
Guys, fortunately for you, you're wrong. It is false. Nobody gets a point. The score is still 1-0, Pat. You guys know nothing about jellyfish.
1-0 Forrest, you idiot. You utter buffoon.
That's what I said, no?
No. But anyway, what's That's number fine. Three?
Now I'm really just curious how jellyfish get rid of excrement.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll dig into that on my own.
Of course,
maybe
Peter
if
doesn't
Pat wasn't
know.
Watching a football game, he would be able to chime in with
Shut
something other
up.
Than just
why
looking at the television.
I'm curious why you think he's doing that.
Because I know him. I know he is. He's been watching it since we started. A beer, number three, a beer-drinking goat was once elected mayor in Lajitas, Texas. Is this true or is this just some bullshit I made up?
So just real quick for us, they don't have any type of excretory organs.
Oh, you Googled it. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's kind of what I was trying to figure out. So they must just consume things and that's it. Like their just waste just falls out. There's no excrement. It's energy.
Nope. They do excrete waste, but it's through the same way that they eat, through the mouth.
Oh, interesting. That's nice.
That's
no reproduction now. No reproduction.
Was a goat elected mayor in Texas? Yes, true.
Of course.
Because this type of news, it annoys me because it was like something cute that a town of 400 people did on like July 4th. They were like, let's do a ceremonial goat election. It's true, but it's fucking stupid. A goat cannot govern a town. It cannot balance a budget. They can't make decisions.
I'm in 100% agreement with Patrick. Also, you're not smart enough to make up that story.
What are you talking about? That is the easiest story I could ever make up.
It's true. Yeah,
no. But it is true. It is true. In Lajitas, a town of about 100 along the Rio Grande River near Big Bend National Park, a goat was elected to be fucking governor of the state.
Mayor.
So I'm definitely too drunk to do this.
Yeah, you're a little sloppy.
Yeah, I know. All right, number four. This will be the last one because I'm too drunk. Leeches have 10 stomachs, 60 brains, and 18 testicles. True or false?
False. I think it's something like that, but the numbers have been manipulated.
It's a good guess.
I don't really think they have 60 brains either. I think they have zero brains, and they have 60 sets of fused ganglion, would be my guess.
Nice. I'm going to go true because I know that it's some weird number of organs, and I'm just guessing that you were too lazy to change the numbers.
Forrest, you are fortunately correct. You win. It was true. Too lazy to change the numbers.
Yep. We'll call that one a tie.
All right. Well, that segment has nobody talking, but here's one that does. I think, Forrest, I'd love it if you'd do the intro here since I don't have a desk to pound on.
You got it. Yep. Desk pounding coming right up.
Battle Royale.
I love it. God, that was powerful.
This is everyone's favorite segment. Well, Forrest, you texted us an idea, and you seemed really excited about it, and I don't like to disappoint you too often, so here's what we've got.
Let's do it.
You're going to take... It's a mythical creature battle royale.
That's right. What
you're going to do is all of us have to create a new beast using elements of three mythical creatures, and they will then fight till death. Yes, classic battle royale. It should be about fighting.
It should be. This is a classic BR.
No one's going to draft Bobby Flay. These have to be mythical creatures. It is not. Or should we do a snake draft or should we just go?
Hey, you tell us, man. I think you got to do a snake draft
for this one.
All right, yeah. Snake draft. I'm going to go first because I've got an idea here that I'm pretty happy about. Okay. The one caveat is no dragons are allowed. No dragons.
Smart. Yeah, that's smart. Okay. That's
no fucking fire-breathing dragon. Yeah. That's just going to be...
If you're just breathing fire, you win. So, yeah, that's a good call.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. So... I'm going to start out with a mythical creature that I find to be really just a fucking badass. I'm going to start with a kraken.
Ooh.
Unleash the kraken.
The body of a kraken.
Spirit of the holiday season.
Yeah, the body and the eight legs of a kraken, which is for those who don't know, a giant octopus back from dinosaur times that would fight with the megalodon and sink ships. And the Viking explorers used to say that the kraken would come and bring entire ships down. I'm going to take in the whole body of the kraken.
Good. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's
really
big.
Good. I was going to go with old Nessie, Loch Ness Monster, but Nessie ain't got shit on the kraken.
It's going to be so tough. Yeah.
There's no
it's
too way. Big. It's a good pick. All right. Who's up next?
Forrest, you go next. Me? You go next.
Forrest, you're next. Yeah.
All right. I shall go next. There in West Virginia, and I believe a few other states, Chicago, Illinois has some sightings of a supposed mythical creature that is humanoid in shape and has wings known as Mothman. We ever heard of Mothman? Either of you guys?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Freaks. All right. Yep. I am going to go the cryptic flight powers of Mothman to lead it off.
Mm-hmm. So does he have just the flight powers, not the body of the Mothman?
Correct. I'm still picking my body now that you took my water beast away from me.
Okay.
So I'm starting with flight powers.
It's a terrible
pick. Go
ahead,
Peter.
Moths
you're up for two.
Fly right into heat and light. All I would do is hold up a lighter and you'd be dead if you were only the Mothman. So I'll wait till your next pick.
Okay.
This is a snake draft. I pick two, correct? Is that right?
He's okay. figuring my out. First pick, he's figuring it out.
My first pick is obviously a vampire. Because a vampire, A, lives forever. It's eternal. They can fly as well. And, I mean, as far as their attack skills, it's not great. But I'm counting on both the eternal living and then also the ability to fly. So that's my first pick. My second pick
is... Can all vampires fly?
Huh?
That I know of.
Can all vampires fly?
I think he gets most of his vampire knowledge from the Twilight series of books.
Well, yeah, of course.
Where else would I get it? Cover to cover. What's your next one?
Watch the movies. The next... My next power that I will give my creature that will win this battle royale because all he has to do is use his laser beam eyeball. I will be a cyclops who shoots lasers out of his one eyeball, and all he has to do is shoot it in the air. The moth will fly right into it.
So dumb. Shut up. You're vampire cyclops so far. Okay.
Yep. I don't think it's too bad. It sounds even more badass when you say it aloud. Cool,
but saying that he's going to shoot a laser beam out of his singular eye into the atmosphere and Mothman, whose body you don't even know what it is yet.
Right.
Picked a really
or brain.
Thing.
Only brain. The power of flight.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right.
What do you got for us?
Vampire Cyclops, pretty solid. So don't forget, I've got the cryptic nature and flight powers of Mothman, but I figured out body of my creature. It's the Hades hound. You know, the three-headed dog from the Hercules movies, the hellhound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the hellhound.
Big hellhound, thing, three heads. That's the base that I'm going on. The hellhound with Mothman powers.
As the head. Wait, so it's the powers? What, you have to have some physical body attribute of
it. But just relax here. Okay. I'm talking about this is the general. So right now what I have is, because I've got a third pick still. Right now what I have is a hellhound that has the flight and disappearing powers of Mothman.
The disappearing powers is worrisome.
Three-headed pitbull. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Like, super cryptic and can fly.
So its physical form is the hellhound, the three-headed dog. Okay, that's good. I don't know how well it's going to do in the water.
I don't either.
So I've got a kraken, which is the size of a school bus.
Yeah.
It has eight legs.
Good.
And can swim. I'm going to then give it a second power of another mythical creature. I'm sticking with my water theme of the mermaid. Because what the mermaid does is they sing a song. And the song, woos you into a trance-like state. So picture this kraken singing a song that makes your creatures just go into a trance-like state. And then it immediately grabs them and brings them to the bottom of the ocean and kills them.
So, very good.
Because I'm so confident I've now won, my third power is going to be, because I've already won, now my third power is going to be one that I can then take advantage of after I've won. So I'm going to go with another mythical creature, a little short, about 1.5 foot tall. It has red hair. It's Irish.
Ooh, leprechaun. The leprechaun. Very nice.
Because the leprechaun has access to many pots of gold.
It's always about the money, dude. Come on.
It's clever what he's doing here. He's betting a lot on his big water beast, and then he's rich if he wins, or even if he doesn't win.
Exactly.
But he's dead if he loses. He's dead.
No, I'm still recording a podcast. My creature's dead.
Yeah.
And I have the gold. Okay. All right, Forrest, how are you going to finish off your flying, disappearing, three-headed pit bull?
Giant dog. Yeah. Oh, boy. I think, man, you guys have some good picks. I'm trying to think. Here's the thing. I had some ideas, but they're not going to win in a fight with either of your guys. I mean, I got Peter's Vampire Cyclops taken care of, but your Kraken Mermaid Leprechaun is a beast. No.
Yeah, the Vampire Cyclops is a shit show.
No way.
He pooped his pants on this one.
Are you guys out of your mind? Okay, go on. I'll wait till my turn.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm stalling because I'm trying to think of something good here.
Oh my god!
You've got a disappearing three-headed pit bull that can also fly. I mean, that's a pretty good start.
It's pretty solid. Yeah, it's pretty solid. I'm going to add to that.
It is.
I'm going to add to that one ability, which is going to be the ability that is going to keep me safe from your water creature. which is that of the shaggy coating and snow abilities of the Yeti, so that my flying hellhound beast that can disappear and reappear can go and live way up in the Himalayas, up in the Arctic, in the Antarctic, where no matter where you call me from with your Kraken mermaid, it will be too cold for your aquatic creature to come to my zone, and there perhaps I stand a chance.
So basically, because you know you can't beat mine, even though it's a mandated battle, you've just chosen avoidance. Well, so yours is a pacifist.
Yeah, it's a very peaceful hellhound. It's a flighty, hidey, cold hellhound.
I like what you did there.
Okay.
I'm accepting the truth at this point.
So basically what you have is, everyone's avoiding my creature. I just got really, really rich. Forrest has the coolest pet ever, but he needs to get a bunch of like mountain hardware gear so he can go hang out with it.
See it. Mm-hmm.
And then Peter just created himself a humanoid friend with one eye.
He just shoot lasers out of his one eye. Are you done?
Sure. What else?
Can I go now?
Yeah. Okay. Go.
Go ahead, Top Knot.
Yeah. First of all, you're Leprechaun. I don't know if you've ever seen the movies. All you have to do is throw shoes at them and they can't fucking not shine them. It's ridiculous. The Kraken, I'm just fucking pissed because you stole my goddamn fucking mermaid, which was going to be my next fucking thing.
Yeah, but you wanted a mermaid so you could fuck it.
You did. Let's be honest.
No, I didn't. And you, I didn't.
It's weird because you wanted the upper half of a fish. As, you know, like the first mermaid.
No, my creature, which is now a fucking, it's a vampire that lives eternally, flies and shoots a laser out of its one giant eye. So a giant big laser. It needed an aquatic ability.
Okay, so what is it?
I'm not going to be able to do... Shut the fuck up. That's what it is. Just be quiet for one moment, okay? I listen to you go on your diatribe about your bullshit, your gold, your money, all of it.
Dude, so far your creature is top notch.
So, Forrest said it right at the beginning. It will be the Loch Ness Monster because my creature needs to also be fucking huge and be able to go underwater to destroy your piece of shit short Irish fucking Kraken. Okay? So it will be underwater. It will be living eternally. It will be shooting giant lasers out of its one giant eye.
Hold on, time out.
Forrest will be nowhere near any of our animals.
I don't understand your animal, though. Does it have the body of the Loch Ness Monster, or does it have the body of a vampire cyclops?
Or is it has the body of the Loch Ness. It has the body of the Loch Ness.
So what he's done is he's taken all of the elements from each of his three things.
Yeah.
So okay. Voters,
what are you talking about?
She'll keep that in mind.
The only
when they vote.
Extra element that I've taken. All right, so I'll pick one from the vampire, and that's flying. I'll take away his ability to live eternally because fuck you. It doesn't matter. All he has is this laser, this eye that shoots lasers. He is a giant fucking sea monster. And he fucking flies. So eat my dick, Pat. Your leprechaun sucks.
Creatures are battling in the water. No matter who wins, and it's very defeated and beat up after this fight, my Yeti hellhound will come out of the snowy mountains and just use one of its heads to fish it out of the water. And then, just, you know, just
be close to shore.
Mothman wings.
I think that's a good plan. How do people weigh in on this? I mean, we need the community to sort of tell us who won this one.
Peter, where do they go?
Everybody can go to iTunes, but really just go to the Wild Times podcast /info. You can find all the links. There's the link to the iTunes, the YouTube. You can comment on the YouTube, wherever the hell you want. Talk to us, send us an Instagram message. Let me know that I won. Also, the merch is up. People are loving it so far. No merch?
Merch
people
is up.
People are loving it, dude.
People are loving it, dude. I threw up the blobfish spirit animal tank on my on my Instagram stories. No joke, 20 to 30, I didn't count them, different DMs being like, dude, that thing is fucking sick. I need one of those to work out, which is pretty cool because I never thought of it. If you walk up to the gym in a my spirit animal is that hideous blobfish in a tank.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Like, it really is. Like,
it's a great gym. Yep. Also, by the way, it's that time of year. Great gift. If you have like a meathead in your family that like just needs to be taken down a peg, order him a My Spirit Animal tank to wear to the gym.
Yeah.
Call him a blob or someone who just needs some motivation to lose weight.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Maybe you have a fat mom at home. Buy her one. She'll love it.
She will love it. how do people find the merch? How do people find the merch, Peter?
So you can find the merch at that link I just said before, or if you want to go direct to it, just thewildtimespodcast.com/merch. Seems
sweet.
I would also love it if some people would leave some reviews on iTunes, because our reviews, we know we're getting a lot of downloads. We know people are enjoying the pod, but we haven't had as many reviews lately on iTunes. And here's what I'm going to do. Peter pays for the merch. So the best review, the most creative, fun review, you're gonna win a free piece of merch. I don't know what it is yet. It's a tank or a t-shirt, whatever. You're gonna win it. Yep. If you go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and a fun comment. We'll pick you at random next week and send you a tank or a t-shirt.
And you'll get a blowjob from Pat's mom. Good night.
Mm, why would you say that? That's so rude.
He's mad.
Awful. What an awful, awful young man you are.
All right, you guys.
All right, guys.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.